Welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church. My name is Steve Harness, and we are glad that you have found our website, and we pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings as you listen today.
I'm Pastor Steve at the Wilton Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in to our midweek service here. And we're glad that we're able to have this online and you can be a part of this. We're starting a brand new series going through the book of Micah. I hope that it's a real blessing and a help to you. Old Testament books are just as relevant today as any New Testament book. And ultimately, Old Testament prophecy points to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm looking forward to sharing the message with you. If you have any prayer requests, please send those to info@WiltonBaptistChurch.com, and we'd be glad to share that with our prayer team here at the church. And so just send those to info@WiltonBaptistChurch.com. Church family, we love you. I look forward to and enjoy seeing you each week. And all of those tuning in that are not able to come to our in-person or overflow or outdoor, it's always good to see you online as well. And I do look for that. I try to see who's maintaining a spiritual engagement and connection with the church family. And then all the guests, thank you for joining us. We're really glad. A lot of things to pray about. School starting back and other COVID situations, the political environment, a lot of things that we can be praying for. And so let's go ahead and pray now, and then we'll begin our message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're our God. And there's no God like you. We pray that this message would be a blessing and a help to everyone who's watching. If there's someone without Christ, they do not know for certain their sins are forgiven. Please help them to see the need for salvation. Then for all the Christians, let them be encouraged in their walk with you and encouraged in these days to keep looking to you. And all the situations I just mentioned, the things going on around us, Lord, we commit these things to you. Use the situations to point people to your Son, Jesus. Bless now our study and message, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so Micah, you think about Jonah, Micah, when you're looking in the Old Testament. So go almost to the middle and to the right just a little bit. And you'll find Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. So go back to Micah. We'll be looking at the first 9 verses. We'll in fact read a couple verses in chapter 2 to begin. But think about Micah for just a moment. He was preaching, and he was preaching to his generation. Some of the things that he preaches about and prophesies about happens in his generation or in the following generation in a short time after him. And for certain, a lot of it then is going to happen in the future. You'll see when we get to chapters 5, 6, and 7, especially about that, a future tense. So even could some of the things he mentions could happen in our day. All of the prophecies that happened in his era were a picture of what would happen in our era, if Christ would come back today, that is, and what would happen for the millennial kingdom and what heaven is like and eternity and things such as this, even the tribulation. And so amazing, small little book. It's considered a minor prophet. Now, that doesn't mean he wasn't as important as the major prophets. There were major prophets and minor prophets. Minor prophets, it just means the book was a little bit shorter. Just a few pages, certainly, for this book here before us. Ultimately, like I mentioned before we prayed, all prophecy points to Christ, his coming the first time or his coming the second time, either to save people from their sins or to judge those who continue in their sin. Micah chapter 2 is the first 2 verses that we'll read, verse 12 and 13. This is where we get the series title. Notice, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gates and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. The breaker. Who is the breaker? The breaker is a verse and a phrase referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. The breaker will come. And a breaker, think about someone who breaks things. A breaker may break some things down, tear some things down in order to build some things up or things even better up in their place. Have you seen some deconstruction sites where they're taking apart a house or demolishing a demolition place? And then what do? They level it out, then they rebuild. They flatten it and destroy it, and then they start over and they make something even better. And here we find the breaker will come. He may clear a path to make the way. And that's certainly the idea of Christ. He's going to clear the path, make the way to know the Lord, to receive the forgiveness of your sins. Get all the roadblocks, the obstacles out of the way so that you can have eternal life. Who's the one who did that for us? Well, of course, that's Christ. Micah is referencing Jesus by saying the breaker is going to come. Now, Micah was a man who prophesied and preached. He ministered during the reigns of King Jotham, who was a pretty good king, King Ahaz, very bad king, King Hezekiah. You can read about him in Micah chapter 1, verse 1 as well. For the most part, a good king, Jotham, that's the first one I mentioned, did not remove the idol places or the high places from his kingdom. Ahab, was a very wicked king and a lot of idolatry in 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 2 through 4. Ahaz, he had a pro-Syrian stance for his politics, basically. And so that's how he led the nation for another country rather than for the Israelites. Hezekiah was one of the best kings of Judah, and he was an anti-Syrian. He was against having the other countries influence him and also their false gods coming in. And so he withstood the Assyrians in the siege of Jerusalem, which Sennacherib led in 701, you can read about that in 2 Kings 18. I like the summary here that Charles Ryrie gives. For who was this message to? It was for the peasants, the villagers. These were days of harassment from enemy armies, of hardship because of exploitation by the wealthy, and of the oppression of the rulers and false prophets. Micah, as Amos, they cried for social justice. So you have a lot of these minor prophets in similar time frames, but they were preaching to different groups of people. So Micah, primarily, he preaches to those in Judah and Samaria, those in Jerusalem. And other prophets, they would talk to Israel. They would talk to Israel as a whole. And the kingdom had been divided already at this point. And so, do you like quotes? Do you like quotations? Micah is one of the characters that's referenced or quoted several times throughout Scripture. I like quotations. You'll hear me say quotations often. And some of my favorite to laugh about are the quotations of Yogi Berra. Not Yogi the Bear, but Yogi Berra, the old-time baseball player. He said some unusual things. He said things like this: "It ain't over till it's over." And that's a very common statement today. "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." What's that mean? "You can observe a lot by just watching." "No one goes there nowadays. It's too crowded." some things that don't make sense here. "If you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else." "And the future ain't what it used to be." Oh, I like this. Baseball. "Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical." Some of it just doesn't add up, does it? Or, "A nickel ain't worth a dime anymore." "Always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't come to yours." Oh, Yogi Berra was famous for unusual and not well thought out sayings. Well, Micah has some wonderful people who are actually going to quote him throughout the Scripture. Jeremiah, he quoted Micah. The wise men, when Herod confronted the wise men who were seeking the newborn king, They said, where's he going to be born? You know what they quoted? They quoted Micah. And Jesus, in the New Testament, Jesus quoted Micah as well. And so I like quotations. Micah's a great one that's quoted throughout the scripture. Here's some more of the tweetable or quotable sayings in Micah. In chapter 1, verse 3, the Lord cometh forth out of his place. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. And don't worry, we'll unpack some of these when we get to them in the coming days. But think about that. You've taken my glory away from my children, from your children. And has the idea of parents and society minimizing God and taking away his glory in their estimation as they portray him to their kids. Chapter 3, verse 2, who hate the good and love the evil. Sounds like today. Or I like this, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 1, in the last days. So a lot of in the last days teaching here. In chapter 4, verse 3, they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Or chapter 5, verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is able to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Oh, you gotta love that. Chapter 5, verse 5, this man shall be the peace. Jesus will be the peace. The Lord hath a controversy with his people. Chapter 6, verse 2. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Chapter 6, verse 8. The good man is perished from the earth. 7, verse 2. They do evil both with both hands earnestly. That's really telling, isn't it? Chapter 7, verse 3. He will plead my cause. Chapter 7, verse 9. Who is a God like unto thee, O God? Chapter 7, verse 18. And he will turn again. He will have compassion. Chapter 7, verse 19. Friends, the Bible has a message for us. Micah gives a message from God to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, and it applied directly to them, but it has implications for us. And a lot of it was prophetic, and prophetic even to our day today, because some of the things that we'll uncover in the coming study will be things that will happen in the future from where we're at today. And so we have a lot to look at, a lot to consider here in our study. But all this while, I encourage you, as we look at the breaker, we need to understand that as Christians, as people, we need to hear and hearken to the Bible. We need to hear and hearken to the Word of God, to God's message for us. The word here means to hear intelligently, to listen, to understand. So I'm listening with the intent of understanding what's being said. Hearken means to prick up your ears, to attend, to give attention to. We have some dogs at our house, and sometimes when I say their name, I say sometimes when I say their name, they prick their ear up and they listen. Others of them are ready all the time. Their ears are up and ready. If I say their name, they'll come around. And that's how we should be when it comes to God's message, when it comes to God's word. Micah says to his people, would you listen to God's message? He's giving us a warning. He's telling us something that we need to know. So let's read verses 1 through 9 of Micah chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moresite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. So you think about how fast wax will melt in a fire and pouring down, and waters over a steep place like a waterfall. The judgment can be swift and quick and very fast. For, why? For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria as an heap of the field and as plantings of a vineyard. And I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley and will discover the foundations thereof. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces. And all the hires thereof shall be burned with a fire. And all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she gathered it of the hire of an harlot. And they shall return to the hire of an harlot. Therefore, I will wail and howl. Micah saying, I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. For her wound is incurable. For it is come to Judah. He is come unto the gates of my people, even to Jerusalem. I'd like to give you three facts in this passage today, things that have happened or will happen one day. The first one is this: the Lord will come. In verses 1 through 3, he makes it very clear that God is a witness against you. He is a witness of their sin. He is a witness of their life. He is a witness of their abandonment from the one true God to serve these false gods. God is a witness. And isn't it true that God sees and knows everything? God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows me. He knows my heart. He knows your intent. He knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows what's in the light. He knows what's in the dark. 1 Chronicles 28:9, and thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. What great advice that David gives to Solomon. Keep running after, pursuing, following, loving God. Jeremiah 17:10, the Lord trieth the heart. The Lord searched the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doings. To the church at Thyatira in Revelation 2, verse 23, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And so God is a witness. God also is working. As we read these verses, behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And it describes the judgment. The mountains are going to be molten, and the wax and the fire and the water poured over a steep place. For, or because of, the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. They had some high places. They had some transgressions. They had some sin. Why was God working? God was working for his people. I mean, we're reading what Micah says. He still loved God. There was a remnant still. There were still some who were true to the Lord God himself and him alone. But not everybody. And so when God was coming to judge, and when he was going to judge Jerusalem and Samaria, it was going to also impact the people who continued all that time to still love God. It was a remnant. It was a small group of people who still loved the Lord. And so when God is treading, he's treading on these high places, and that would be good for God's people. Hey, that's great. There's less idols. There's less temptation. There's less sin in our country, in our land. No more places of idol worship. But it also affects them because God is also working against his rebels. What if his people were the ones, and they were, what if they were the ones who were rebelling against God, who were bowing down to Baal and Ashtaroth and Ra and other of the false gods and false deities of the day? What if that was the case? Yes, well then this judgment was against them. By the way, here's a question. What are some false gods today? Are there gods, lowercase G-O-D-S, that society follows? Name some of those. We'll ask that question at the end. And then, is it possible for a Christian, in at least a moment, to have a distraction and to have an idol in his or her life? Is that possible? We'll answer that question and talk about that in just a moment as well. So God is working, and ultimately God will win. the high places ultimately will be knocked down. God is patient. God is patient, but he will not tolerate idol worship forever. There came a day in Israel, in Judah, in Jerusalem and Samaria, where God sent in other nations and countries to come in and level everything out. And God's people were carried away. They were taken to other places and dispersed throughout the world. That's happened several times in history. And ultimately, those high places are knocked down. Now, the other countries, other groups that come in, bring their own gods, etc. But in the end, who wins? Jesus does. Ultimately, when everything's said and done, I'm talking about after the last amen of Revelation, there will be no more idols, and God alone will be recognized as God. And that'll happen one day. Notice how he says the God of heaven will come down. The God of all the earth will leave the holy temple of heaven. So thank God for his patience. One day he'll be that one who is the breaker. Everything will be broken down. Then he'll build back up and start over. So we'll get to more of those details later. The Lord will come. The Lord will judge. Verses 4 through 7 describe the judgment. The mountains molten. Why? For the transgression of verse 5. Verse 6, therefore I will make Samaria as an heap of the field, plantings of the vineyard. Verse 7, all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces. All the hires shall be burned with the fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. You see, the Lord will judge. Why? Because of transgression. You think about the word transgression. It's a good Bible term. It means to transgress, to step over a line. And God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Command number one. There's only one God. There's only one. What's the most broken command of God in the world? Having other gods. Idols, or all the other sins, all the other commands, sure, but having a God other than the one true God is the number one thing. Rejecting the Son of God, Jesus, the resurrected Son of God, that means I have some other idol in my life. I have something or someone or some other false deity that's more important in my life for transgression. How about for sins? Sin is anything that we do, say, or think that displeases God. I sin. You sin. As Christians, we confess that sin to God. As a person who has not yet trusted Christ, I encourage you to confess to God that you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. You cannot do good enough and have enough good works in your life to justify yourself before God. So you need Jesus. He's the justifier. He's the one who can forgive sin. So you go to him and say, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Please forgive me. Save me from my sin. I believe the gospel. That's the whole reason God came to earth and died on the cross. That's why Jesus did that and then rose again so that you could have forgiveness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 tells us, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. What is sin? It's stepping over God's law, stepping over God's line that he drew. And that line is not in the sand. It's hard and fast. Without Christ, you cannot have salvation. Without the Lord God and God himself as your Savior, you cannot have forgiveness of sin. So you have to trust Christ. Now, the word high places is used here. And in the Bible, it's found 202 times. There's a lot of high places. All of those are in the New Testament except for one. The high places. That means a place of idol worship, a place of a false deity. And God said, I'm going to make a judgment. Now, here's a map that you can see. This is a map of Sennacherib's campaign against Judah. I mentioned Sennacherib just a moment ago. And here's his campaign. You can see on here Philistia, Judah, and Samaria. You can see where Ekron is, the Ekron Valley. You can see where Gath is. It's mentioned as well later on in this chapter. And Jerusalem over there in the green, and Antioch, and Bethlehem, and Hebron further on down south in Judah. So that's the area where Micah ministered, and this is the area that he's talking about. So this is the people. This is the who? Jacob, Samaria, Jerusalem, and they're going to be judged. Jacob would be Judah, is what he's speaking of there. So how is he going to judge? As we read in the next few studies, there's war, there's injustice, there's civil unrest, there's violence, there's unrest in their society among one another, then there's outside threats, there's a lot of trouble that they had. Dr. Ryrie described it this way: Samaria was captured by Assyria in 722 B.C. Jerusalem was besieged by Sennacherib in 701. You can read about that in 2 Kings 18, verse 13. And then later on by Nebuchadnezzar in 605. And then later on, there were still other battles and conflicts and troubles. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13 says, "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." Now, think about this with me. Receiving war from another country or another alliance against your country is many times in Scripture a form of judgment. When someone attacks Israel, when someone attacks Judah, when someone attacks Jerusalem, when someone attacks one of their kings, if you notate in the Bible very carefully, you'll discover a lot of times it's either to get the attention of those people or that king to turn them back in repentance to the true Jehovah God, or to judge them. And here is a warning. God is saying, "I'm going to judge you." And even by the time you get to verse 8 and 9, the wound is incurable. These people will go through judgment. At the same time, we find Micah is crying and weeping, and he's beseeching and praying to God. You know, even in this warning that Micah gives, and in all the warnings the Scripture gives, why would you give a warning to begin with? God gives a warning. I always find when you find warnings in the Scripture, it is an indication, it's an evidence of the mercy of God. Look, this is what's going to happen if you continue this way. But here's mercy. Here's mercy for you. Here's mercy to the future generations that they would repent, if they would turn back to me. The Lord will come, the Lord will judge, the Lord will hear. Aren't you glad for verses like Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Well, notice how verse 9 says, "Her wound is incurable, for it has come unto Judah, and he has come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem." So it's like the judgment was at their door already. And here was coming Sennacherib, and he was going to besiege Jerusalem. It's going to take place, and it happened in history. Is there going to be a time in the future when armies of the world will gather around Jerusalem once again? There will be. There will be during the tribulation, during the great tribulation, the last half of it, near the very end of the tribulation. But notice the land is incurable. These people that Micah is speaking to will be judged. With warning, again, we still see God's mercy is available. Now, the situation is incurable. It's inescapable. Everyone in the land will be affected. God's judgment on an entire nation affects both the good and the bad, the faithful and the unfaithful. After children's church, one father asked his 7-year-old son, he said, "What did you learn about in church today, son?" And Daniel was scratching his head, and he said, "I learned about the probable son." Not the prodigal son, but the probable son. You know, when it comes to the prodigal, what did he do? He came to himself. He came back to his dad and said, "Dad, please forgive me." He repented. He turned around. He came back home. He came back to his father. God wants us to repent. He wants us to come back home. He wants us to come back to the Father. As a country, there's only two nations on the face of the earth that were founded on Bible principles. I mean, just taken right off the pages of this book. That is Israel, you find that all throughout the Old Testament, and America. You read the founding documents, you'll find allusion and reference to the Scripture all throughout it. All the ideas and the concepts for how the government is even set up into three different parts of government, all of that's found in the Scripture. The judicial system, all of that's found there. Even how armies conduct themselves today, sometimes they'll study people like Joshua and Gideon and others. And so the land was incurable, but we still see that God's mercy is available. God's mercy is available. Pray. We should pray like Micah was praying. He was saying that in verses 8. And then in other passages, he said, therefore, I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owl. So he looks at some creatures in his region. He says, I'm going to make noise like them. It must have been a kind of horrendous sound from those dragons and the screeching of the owls. And he was crying out and Lord, have mercy, is perhaps what he was saying in his prayer to the Lord. But notice the last few verses of the book. So go to chapter 7, verses 18, 19, and 20. I am glad to tell you that even though God will come down, and he did, Jesus came, he's coming again. And even though God will judge when he comes the second time, when he actually physically comes down to the earth, not in the rapture, but when he touches down and Armageddon, the millennial kingdom begin, all of that. It's amazing to think of what he's going to do here, but all the time his mercy is still available. God will hear prayer if you'll turn back to God. Notice this, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? What a phrase. Passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. He will perform the truth to Jacob and his mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Take some time to think about those verses. These are my people. Pray like Micah was praying. This is serious. He was serious. It was a prayer to the Lord that God would hear him. Pray like Micah. These are my people. These are our sins. This is what has happened. And then when he concludes the book, there's no God like our God. He pardons. He passes by sin. He cares for his remnant. Folks, there are some, even today, who are madly in love with Jesus. Romans 11:5 tells us, even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant. You and I can be part of this remnant today. God answers prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Aren't you glad he hears our prayer? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn, that's repentance, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Remember the quotes we started out with? Here's a quote for you. Somebody said, deathbed repentance is burning the candle of life in the service of the devil, then blowing the snuff in the face of heaven. I don't want to live like that. Neither do you, I suspect. Let's turn back to God with great passion and fervor. As we see a land, a country, a society, a world in turmoil, a world that has long since abandoned the one true God, let's be lights in this world. Let's share the love of Christ. Let's be faithful to the Lord. For those friends watching right now, you're not certain about your salvation or forgiveness of sins, turn back to God. Repent today. God didn't come so you could be religious. He didn't come to earth so you could be a good person or better than your neighbor. He came so that you could have complete forgiveness of your sin. It's something that you could not earn. The grace of God is something you could not do enough good for. But just believing in what Christ did. Would you believe the gospel today for yourself? Don't wait, because God will judge sin. And remember, no other God's before me, that's the one. We're already in our trespasses and sins. We are condemned in our trespasses and sins already because we've not yet repented and trusted Jesus and him alone for salvation. Would you trust Christ yourself? Would you come to faith in him for your eternal salvation? Friends, God judges sin. Judah and Jerusalem are captured, destroyed. People are carried away. But there is a generation that will repent and turn back, a remnant like what we mentioned earlier. If this generation does not repent, a future generation can. And God's mercy is right there for them to hear their prayer. And I'm excited for that. hear and hearken to God's message. So just in summary, the Lord will come, the Lord will judge, and the Lord will hear. Now, you've heard of Q&A. How about D and A? D and A, discussion and application. Here's some questions to get your discussion and application going today. What was Micah's primary mission? We think about the prophet Micah. What was his primary mission? Number two, name some false gods that society has today. Number three, do Christians occasionally have idols in their life? If so, give some examples. Number four, why does God judge sin? Why does God judge sin? Number five, talk about the value of mercy. What is mercy? Where can we find mercy? What does God's mercy mean to us today? And then our final question, conclude by discussing and applying prayer. Take some time to pray. Perhaps give some examples of answered prayer, repentance, restoration, and hope. Thank you for watching our midweek service. We'll continue and pick up our study in the next few verses going through the book of Micah next time. God bless.